Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favourite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah!
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon! That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. Wow. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made. You're listening to the Oz Movies Podcast, only on the Oz Network.
We are back on the Oz Network for number whatever we're at on Oscar month. We're too many days in. Are we past the halfway point yet? Somewhere
this is the halfway
there?
Point. Five.
Halfway point. We're five right now. Oh, it's been quite the week. And we are up to Anatomy of a Fall, a movie that Ben has now seen more than 5 minutes of. Congratulations, hey. Ben.
Oh, I thought this was so arty, this movie. I just, you know, like.
This is just, it's the same thing over and over and over again. So repetitive.
Groundhog Day, basically.
It's Groundhog Day, yeah.
The German version. Oh, the French version. Sorry, the French version. The German one's tomorrow.
We'll get into it right away. My name is Colin, and now I'm thinking maybe he ate my dad's vomit.
My name is Ben, and I did not kill him. I did not. Oh, hi, Colin.
Nicely done.
Thank you. I literally, this is like a not the most quotable movie. It's either that or it's going to be like P-I-M-P, which again, I heard that song for like 20 minutes on stop. So, but you're welcome. I brought some comedy to an unfunny movie. Make this movie funnier.
Well, we heard Noah's thoughts at the end of yesterday.
Yeah, number one.
And I'm going to reserve my thoughts for a second because I'm actually curious to hear what you think about this whole movie.
Well, again, I'm very glad that this wasn't just some arty-farty movie on repeat. I guess people didn't hear what I said the other day. I'd gone to the cinema to see this film, and there seemed to be a technical issue because for about 20 minutes I watched that some reason it was edited that you had the opening scene, then you had a bit of the court scene, then you had the argument with the husband scene, and then it seamlessly went back into the opening scene of like her doing the interview again. So, but like, and this isn't like some weird jump cut or something where you can tell obviously somebody's like screwed with you. They had edited this in a way which it seemed like it was the actual movie. So again, I'm watching this for about 20 minutes with the opening, like those three scenes on repeat about four times at that point. And I'm going, okay, this must be something fancy. But anyway, long story short, it wasn't the right version. I finally got the right version. This is a good film. I mean, this is, I do like a good movie that it's sort of very dialogue driven that you got to, you know, you sit there and you kind of go on a story. And this is a real mystery because I guess you sort of like, you know, did she do it? Didn't she do it? You know, great acting performances, all of these things and more. Is this the number one movie of Oscars? Sorry, Noah, no. But it's top tier. I'll say that. But it's, this won't be finishing number one for me, but I will say Sandra Voiter, is that the actress's name? Sandra Huller, sorry.
Huller, yeah.
Who's also in another movie we're about to cover. Didn't realize she was in two of them. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And having now seen all of them at the time of recording this, she would be in my top two for best performances of this. And yeah, she's absolutely amazing. I mean, she carries this film for such a dialogue-heavy movie that, you know, requires somebody to really carry it the way she does. So is that a way of saying I like this movie, but definitely not the best of the bunch?
Well, I said yesterday to Noah that we would have some matches.
Here we go.
I can't tell you 100% if this will be number one at the end because I still have a couple to rewatch and then a few more that I haven't seen. But I will say at the end, on the last day of 2023, I made a list of what are the best movies I've seen this year. And this was number one on my list.
Wow.
Number one of like all movies, not just the ones nominated for Best Picture. This was like my number one movie of the year. Now, does that still hold up? Well, we'll find out over the next couple of days. But I absolutely love this movie. And it's been a couple months since I've seen it. And this is kind of that test we're talking about all year now. is or all week, I guess, for this entire year is, you know, how well are you going to remember this movie? And I still can't stop thinking about this movie. Like, every scene in this was perfect. It was so everything that happens in this movie, it's almost just like following the littlest details of this murder trial. Part of it is like a personal story. Part of it is just the mundane stuff of the trial. And I was like so fascinated just in like the mundane things and the investigation into this. And like you said, the performances are incredible. I mean, I'm a big fan of the more subtle performances you get in the movies. And Sandra Hüller is like, she is so subtle with everything she does in this movie. I mean, not even to mention that the guy who plays her lawyer, like, I don't even think he got nominated, but like, where is his nomination? He's incredible. This has got to be one of the best legal thrillers I think I've ever seen. I absolutely loved it.
I feel that this is where I think another film this period covers all those bases more than this, which Noah didn't like. We'll get to that.
Oh.
But look, I don't disagree with anything you say. I just, the way I look at this film, it's not a one and done in terms of I'm not going to remember I watched this. I think it does stick with you. I think it has an impact on you because it's carried by the acting. I think the two things that I have that I don't put it as high as you and Noah is that this is a movie you can't rewatch. I just think this is a, like, in terms of a one and done, you remember it, but like, I see no purpose to rewatching this film again. That's my opinion on that. And then also, I was expecting, and I don't know if this is spoilerish or not, but I was expecting there to be this like big twist, like, I don't know, something happening with the end. Because to me, at the end of the day, the plot was just really like, yeah, okay, I guess that from the beginning and nothing was different. I'm like, all right, so like, cool. And this, I would say, is a movie similar to another one that we're going to do this month that you can trim half an hour off this and it's fine. Like, I mean,
oh, no.
Again, like, I'm not disliking this. It's a great film. And again, it's just carried by the acting. It's a very basic film in terms of just it's a woman accused of killing her husband. That's, you go to court. It's very, like, it's done very well in the fact that you've got, like, I love the way they kind of like do the media side of it. The court's very interesting because, like, I've never seen French court before. So, like, I mean, to me, it's very interesting how, if that's how French court is, how they cross-examine and you've got witnesses and the way they can kind of do that. Very fascinating. The sort of the diversity in the languages, the fact that you've got this woman who's like a German woman who has to speak English and French and just everything along those lines. And yeah, I mean, again, I feel like I'm talking down this movie. I guess I am in a way because you and Noah absolutely love this movie, whereas I'm not saying this is definitely not going to be in the bottom half. This is going to be in the top half of the movies for these 10 films, but it's maybe just not up there on the level that you guys are saying. But still, enjoyable film. I just don't think I could ever find a reason to watch this again.
See, I'm actually going over comments were when I first watched this back in December, and it was the fact that there aren't that many big twists is what I appreciated. Like, I like that this movie could be as riveting as it was without having to throw, well, what most movies do nowadays, there's a new twist every single minute. There's a movie that I watched, a very, very poor legal thriller. I can't remember the name of it, but probably within a week or two after this, where that one was like, okay, you got a good premise here, but you're feeling the need to throw a new twist in every 10 minutes and it's just too much. And I like that this was simple. To me, this was like watching a really good televised murder trial. Like, if you're watching the ones that are on the court TV or whatever it might be, or not like the high profile ones like the OJ Simpson one, but when you get caught up in like these, oh, I'm hearing about this in the news, and you start watching the day-to-day proceedings. But what made this most interesting for me were all the little things that they're not twists, but they're the things you wouldn't expect a movie like this to cover. Like, you're getting into the marital problems that this husband and wife had, which you don't know at the beginning. They're sort of slowly revealed through things in court, you know, finding out about some infidelity. The best part to me was when they're talking to the therapist on the stand, and you have the main character, like Sandra Hüller's character, who's basically saying, it's like, do you think it's at all possible that you're maybe seeing it from his point of view and that you're kind of missing my point of view? I'm not saying that, like, you know, I didn't do things wrong, but like, he wasn't perfect either, you know? And then you add to that, you know, you got this blind kid where it's like, okay, does he believe his mom? Doesn't he believe his mom? What is this kid going to do to you know, make his determination? Those things that kind of brought the more emotional stakes to the story, where everything else was just, you know, run-of-the-mill this is what would happen in a courtroom. This is the type of investigation we have to do, the type of interrogation we have to do. That's what really added to it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not saying make this Argyle and have 50 twists every second. It's just, to me, it came down to, you know, it was obvious what was going to happen at the end from the very beginning. And I think that, like, you watch it for 2.5 hours for an obvious ending in a way where it's like give me something slightly at the end. I don't know. Like, it's just, that's the only thing I'm saying. And, like, it's no different to, like, I know you make, like, fun of me for watching Blue Bloods. It's, you know, I shouldn't watch it. It's a dumb show, but it's fun at the same time. It's harmless. But, like, why did we used to watch, you know, cop serials every week? Because it was always a who did it, a whodunit, right? Mm-hmm. We love a good whodunit. And I'm sure you're the same. Most people are the same. You watch it, and within 2 seconds, you're like, that person did it. You know, you straight away, you stick to your lane and you go for it the entire movie. And I straight away was like, that's the outcome of this movie. And it was obvious and it was right. And, like, I'm not saying that I'm the be all and end all. I guess these things all the time and you feel good, but it's sort of one of these things where, you know, like, I think we talked on Argyle where there were some really obvious twists when they happen. You're like, all right, yeah, cool. Sometimes as an audience member, like, yeah, you want something standard, but, like, give us something slightly. I feel like the way this kind of played out was just, that was a, I wouldn't say a letdown in a way, because, like, it's very well structured and very well put together. But if I'm watching a 2.5 hour movie where a lot of it I've got to read, I want there something to be like at the end of it where I'm like, oh, that held my attention. And again, there's another movie where I had to sit down for only 1 hour and 45 minutes and read, and that held my attention a lot tighter than a 2.5 hour movie where I didn't have to read all of it. So, and clearly my opinion is going to be completely different for that. Sort of thing. So, and there's another 2.5 hour movie that we've got to cover. Should we see a lot more nudity in it, which held my attention for a lot more?
Different reasons.
Much more entertaining.
I've yet to see that one.
would rewatch more because it's a bit more unique. But again, I don't dislike this film. I do like. I feel like this is a Parasite of this year. That, like, you and Noah like absolutely love Parasite. Oh, it's groundbreaking. This is incredible. And I'm like, look, Parasite's good, but it's not that good. Like, that's. I think this is to me the Parasite of 2024.
I just want to call the one specific scene where it's going through the audio recording. And these are those little things where I'm like, it's not a twist, but it's like, oh, you're actually going to, you're talking about all these. Yeah, Marriage Story, right? Like, it's not something that you necessarily were expecting to come in the movie. And then the way it plays out, you're like, man, I don't know how I feel about her anymore. But then you're seeing it cut with the actual scene and then people's reactions in the courtroom. Like, that scene alone to me might be the best scene I've seen in anything this year.
I think we talked about this Marriage Story. I do love a good on-screen fight that is that's realistic. I think this is a realistic portrayal of a couple. And, you know, we talked about that with Past Lives, that you don't always have to have this Hollywood, I mean, this isn't a Hollywood movie, but, like, I mean, you don't always have to have that Hollywood glare of a film that everything's going to be perfect in the end. I mean, it's, yes, we need escapism. Yes, we need to see and believe there's things as happy endings and life is brilliant. You know, that's why we have movies for the most part. But every now and then you've got to watch something where it shows life that you go, oh, well, I'm not the only one who's in a fucked up thing like this. And that's what, yeah, I agree with you. And I don't think she's a very likable person in general. Like, I think she's got a lot of flaws about her that make her quite unlikable. The cheating thing, like the all other levels about things, she's a bit selfish. But then, as you say, with this scene that we have with the husband, that, you know, he's kind of been the innocent victim in all of this, and then you kind of see that he's not exactly perfect either. I mean, the one who's the most innocent in all of this is a young boy, and you talk about not getting nominated. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think he deserved an Oscar. I mean, what, I don't know how old the boy is himself in real life, but he's absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, it's got the layers. I like a good portrayal of a good, a couple where it's not. I mean, I've always told the story, I think we said back in Marriage Story, that I was always a weird fan as a kid of Kramer versus Kramer. Like, I mean, that was a kid that a movie I shouldn't have been watching as a kid. But for some reason, I was just drawn to this, 70s movie. It was sitting on my parents' shelf. Well, what's this? And I think I started watching it first because you got to see some boobies in it as a little boy. But then all of a sudden, I enjoyed the movie. I was like, this is a good movie. So I do appreciate all that sort of level of it, but this won the Palme d'Or, didn't it, last year at Cannes?
Yeah.
So I mean, this obviously was always going to be out there, and this got a fair few more nominations than Past Lives, didn't it? Like, so this got a five nominations
in total. And we were talking about for past lives that not Celine Dion, what's her name? Celine Song.
Celine Dion's directing debut. There she goes.
They're both Canadian. It's hard to tell them apart. But everybody's talking about Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated. Oh, but like, well, there was a better director. Celine Song wasn't nominated. Justine Triet, who directed this movie. I mean, if there's one female director,
much
this year,
more deserving than freaking yes. Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, and when we get to Barbie, I'm going to have defenses for Barbie. I'm also going to have things to say about how it's not necessarily the type of thing that's like top tier of the year. But the nominations is get, so Best Picture, Best Director. And if you're in the Best Director as well, you're basically one of the real Best Picture nominees. Not we have to pad this out to 10. Sandra Hüller for Actress, Original Screenplay, and Editing. I think Editing's pretty much a lock for Oppenheimer. I don't think Picture and Director, this has a shot. I think screenplay and actress, this is probably in the running. Screenplay, we talked about the holdovers, might be the thing to battle it out with Anatomy of a Fall. Actress, there's another one that we're going to get to. I don't know if it's tomorrow or the next day, who's probably the front runner. My personal choice would probably be Sandra Hüller the ones we have.
Yeah, I mean, looking here, this is the favorite for original screenplay. So you'd say this would win it. Look, I just want to say just on the director side of things that I mean, having seen all of these now, and I haven't rewatched Oppenheimer at the time of this, but obviously I've seen Oppenheimer. I mean, this to me, like, as a director, you've got to get a performance out of an actor. Not to discredit Sandra Hüller. I've seen her in two films. She's a great actress. I mean, she's 100%. I'm not saying it's difficult to get something out of her, but, like, I mean, you've still got to, this is, again, a dialogue-heavy movie. Where the whole purpose of directing this film is to really get your performance out of the actors. So, I mean, to me, that should put some weight on what Justine Triet does. I mean, I think it's fantastic. And I think kind of on top of one other actor, two other directors in this who are not going to get anywhere near the win, let's be honest. Christopher Nolan's going to win and probably Martin Scorsese is probably second favorite. But, like, I think the non-big-name Hollywood directors are, to me, better directors this year if I had to rate it on what they get the performances out of. And in terms of the acting side of things, look, we're a couple of days away from Killers of the Flower Moon, but I've got to say, I think Sandra Hüller does a better job. Way better job. So I don't know if that's controversial, but I even think a certain other person in another movie who won the Golden Globe in the musical comedy category does a way better job than a certain person in Killers of the Flower Moon. But hey, like, you know, that's just Ben's opinion. But look, I think, Sandra, if I was to give this out based on Ben's opinion on who of all of these ones that I've seen, and I've not seen Annette Bening in Naiad, so apologies to Naiad. It's getting a couple of acting nods and I've not seen it. It's obviously a good film. Don't know. I think Sandra Hüller would be my number one. If this was the Ben Waterworth Oscars of performances of those five women, I would be giving it to either Sandra Hüller or Emma Stone, and I reckon Sandra Hüller just comes out slightly on top.
I just want to call out, I don't know if, I know there are multiple posters that are made for this, but the poster that's actually on the Wikipedia page, what is that?
Well, that's the one on my Plex that it had. It looks like a romantic comedy or something like that, like, lol, we're having drinks.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the photos I think you see in the montage. I've switched to the one where it's like the him on the snow with the blood coming out of his head. That to me, because, I mean, this is a Snakes on a Plane style movie in that you get what you get in the title. Oh, it's Anatomy of a Fall. Yep, it is. It's 2.5 hours giving me an anatomy of what happens on a fall. So, you know, yeah.
Rankings, where are you going to put this? I'm guessing it's not, even of the ones we've covered so far, it's not your top yet.
I am buying it. I'll just tell you that straight away. So
me too.
I'm still buying it. Again, good film. I still bought Parasite, if I'm not mistaken. I don't hate Parasite. It's just, again, not as brilliant as everybody says it is. I've got to look at my rankings because I've got them all 10 now. So how do I do this? So we've done. So the Holdovers is still on top. American Fiction is still number 2. So this will be number 3 right now on our list of the ones we've done at the moment. So I've got, number 4. Hang on, I'm reading the wrong one. Apologies. This is below Past Lives and above Maestro.
Really?
Yes. So technically it's second last, but it's still fourth. It's behind The Holdovers, American Fiction, and Past Lives.
So I'm going to buy this and I'm going to have it at number 1. Holdovers is my number 2, American Fiction 3, Past Lives, and then Maestro Dead, Dead, Dead Last.
Maestro last for the next 5 years for Colin.
Maestro not dead enough last. Maestro, let's let him die a second time. That's how bad that movie is. He's rolling over in his grave right now. Bad. That's what it is. But
R.E.M. sung about him.
They sang a line about him. That's right. Him and Andy Kaufman, they have something in common.
Exactly. It's a sequel. That was a sequel to Man on the Moon.
Maestro, the sequel.
Man in the ground.
So then it is going to be Killers of the Flower Moon tomorrow, or is it Zone of Interest?
Let's do Zone of Interest tomorrow.
All right.
I can't be bothered to sit there 3.5 hours of Martin Scorsese wanking tomorrow. Let's get a 90-minute German film out of the way. Come on, you said that one's going to be quick.
I'll just say this. I like this more than Noah did, because I think Noah, I would love to hear.
He said it was last. Yeah.
Further explanations on his. I think Maestro was his dead last.
No, I thought he said that this was Zone of Dead Interest.
If it's not, then he's dead to me. I'm pretty sure that Maestro is his dead last. But I've seen this now. I literally finished watching it. I don't know.
The episode will go well tomorrow then.
10 minutes before we started recording this one, I finished Zone of Interest. See how much I remember 24 hours from now. But I'll just say this movie was different than I expected. It kind of in a similar way to American Fiction, where I'm like, it is what I expected, but I expected it to be more of an aspect of it. So we'll get into more of that tomorrow.
I would say the next 2 days are films that I went in with one expectation and got a completely different expectation out of it. In the fact that I thought both were kind of about different things than they were. So this and Killers of the Flower Moon, I kind of had, I'll explain tomorrow more, but like I went into it with a completely different idea of what the movie was about to realize I was completely wrong. So, and I like that. I like it when you sort of go into something and you don't, you know, it's not like a Batman movie where you're watching all the previews and things like that and you think you know everything about it. So yeah, I'm kind of sad now I was on tomorrow, because it surprises me, having seen the love that you two have given Anatomy of a Fall, that Zone of Interest is not getting the same love. But hey, I'm going to be the sole one maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
We'll find out. What day are we on right now? We are 5 days in. So we just heard 24. Coming up in a couple of...
We did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I know
just
the days.
24, so
it's a Tuesday. I love Tuesdays.
Couple more of these before we get to our movie recap starting new month off with Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? We'll be calling Noah to find out what he thought of Zone of Interest. So stay tuned for Nazis tomorrow. And Sandra Hüller.
Nazis. The annual Nazi movie.
My name is Colin, and you're really the only lawyer that I know.
And my name is Ben, and I fell out of a building.
Thanks for downloading this episode of the Oz Network. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or by copying our RSS feed into your preferred podcast provider. And while you're there, please drop us a rating and leave us some feedback. You can also be sure to stay up to date with all the latest episodes and happenings from the show, as well as finding out how you can get involved in upcoming episodes by following our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as getting everything you need under one roof at theoznetwork.net. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak to you next time. Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favorite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah!
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited, because the Oz Network is now on Patreon! That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. Wow! For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made.